Okay. Okay, so good morning, everybody. So we're discussing the HTL or HDL approximation. It's another resummation scheme, which means we solve something like Dyson-Schwinger equations. Né? So we have Dyson-Schwinger equations for the quark propagator. So the inverse, of course, is the free one plus the self-energy. And for the gauge propagator, we have a similar equation. And as usual, these self-energies are derivatives of this gamma 2, no? Which is the gamma 2 is the sum of all two-particle irreducible vacuum diagrams. And if we approximate this to first order, so gamma 2 to first order contains two-loop diagrams. This was the approximation. I'm not going to write this down again. But for the quark propagator, you get then, sorry, for the quark self-energy, you get then quark or electron, eh? Of course, it's the same in QED. So the fermion self-energy is this diagram. And the gauge boson in this. So this was the two-loop approximation. So this was then, in two-loop approximation, you have a fermion bubble, no? And in QCD, you get also something from the non-abelian interactions. So the gluon bubble and the gluon tadpole. Oops. And possibly a ghost, no? Ghost loop. Okay. So this is basically QCD. This is QCD, QED. Okay. Okay. And to solve this self-consistently, I mean, you can do it, but it has certain problems that we are not going to discuss in detail. No? I mean, you have to worry about gauge invariance and all these kind of things. But there is actually one gauge-invariant approximation. This is this HTL, or hard thermal loop, or hard dense loop in a dense medium. No? This is dense. This is thermal. And hard. What hard is, I will explain in the following. Okay. So this was about the status of last week, Tuesday. Sorry that Friday I had to skip. Okay. So let's look at this in more detail. No? So of course I will simplify things. I will only consider QED and only the photon self-energy. I will also put the electron chemical potential to zero, okay. Otherwise, you have this thing here. Works the same way, but I just want to give you the idea of how to do this. No? And and we only look at pi mu nu. No? This is still a Lorentz tensor. So only the electron self-energy. So we only look at this particular diagram. And we're going to compute this in high thermal loop approximation. Okay. And of course, this is still a resummation scheme that is based on the assumption that the coupling constant is small. So in some sense, we're doing a perturbative calculation of this, but we simplify under certain rules, which gives then this approximation. Okay. So further assumptions, no? We set the electron mass to zero. The other way to say this is m is much, much smaller than temperature. No? So temperature is much larger than the mass, typical mass scales. But we're going to set this to zero then, no? In the calculation. No corrections of order m over t. And as I said, the assumption is that the coupling constant is much, much smaller than 1, which is okay in QED. No? QED, this is not so bad. It's 30%, but okay. Good. So what is the first observation? The first observation is if I compute this now, it's pi mu nu in momentum space. So there's an external momentum going in here, as you know, which I call Q. No? This is the momentum that goes in here, flows out again. That thing contains two powers of the coupling constant because of the two vertices. No? So this must be of order e squared. And then it has dimension 2, no? In energy. Because this goes like Q squared, no? The free inverse gauge propagator, this is proportional to Q squared. So this thing must also be of the same dimension, and if it depends on Q, then you expect this to be of order Q squared. Okay, this is, for dimensional reasons, a very simple observation. And this is certainly true in vacuum, where there's no other energy scale. No? In the vacuum, where you have no other energy scale than the momentum, this must be true. Okay? So at zero temperature, that's okay. But at finite temperature or non-zero temperature, there can be a problem. No? Because this is not the only dimensionful scale in the problem. Temperature has also dimension energy. Okay, so in principle, I could write this pi mu nu of Q as E squared. Okay, this is always true. This is proportional to two powers of the coupling constant. And then I absorb all the dimensionful stuff, I mean, the dimension of pi mu nu into two powers of temperature. Okay, that's also always possible. And then there must be some dimensionless function of Q over T. Actually, tensorial function. Eh? So this must be always true. Eh? This is dimensionless. Can only depend on the ratio of momenta over temperature. Otherwise, it has some Lorentz structure, which follows from the gauge principles. No? So this is a dimensionless rank 2 tensor. And the function of momenta Q mu scaled by temperature. No? Some function of Q mu over T. Good. So now let's go to this equation here. And let's make the following observation. So let's say if the momentum here the momentum in the inverse propagator. Yeah, if Q, if this is of order T, order temperature, okay, then we have obviously delta inverse is delta 0 inverse plus pi. But this thing here is, okay, now you have to write it down. Huh? I take a result from zero temperature quantum field theory, which you know quite well. So we were able to write this as Q squared times this orthogonal projection operator, P mu nu, plus, yeah, in some covariant gauge, there is this gauge parameter lambda, E mu nu. No? This is this object here. Yeah, P mu nu I should write down. This is this projection operator onto the direction which is 4 transverse to Q. And E is this thing here, no? It's the longitudinal projection operator, Q mu, mu nu over Q squared. That projects onto the direction of Q. So this is this object here. This is what we discussed in zero temperature field theory. And now pi mu nu is E squared T squared times a function which is dimensionless. Sorry, a dimensionless function of Q over T. Okay, so in this range here, this is of order T squared. This is of order E squared T squared. Okay, E is much, much smaller than 1. So for momenta, well, maybe I write Q mu here. Otherwise, I don't know what this Q is about. So this Q mu of order temperature means that for photons that propagate with typical momenta of order temperature, the self-energy is a small correction, okay? So in this case, this is of order, this can be neglected, no? For this case here. For such momenta, you can neglect this. But if Q mu is of order ET, so basically momenta which are much, much smaller than the temperature, then you see that this delta inverse, which is Q squared P mu nu plus lambda E mu nu plus E squared T squared times this dimensionless function, then you see that the self-energy is of the same order as the free part. Né? So this is of order E squared T squared. This is of order E squared T squared. So you cannot neglect this. No? So here, self-energy cannot be neglected. So an approximate solution of this equation, this Dyson-Schwinger equation up there, is for these momenta, set the self-energy to 0. For these momenta, keep the self-energy. Okay, this is more or less a trivial observation. Okay, here I should write neglect self-energy somewhere, but okay. Okay, so now let's try an approximate solution of this Dyson-Schwinger equation by computing the self-energy. Okay, so now we go and compute the self-energy. Yeah, first let's introduce this nomenclature of hard and soft. So these momenta are called hard. Momenta of order temperature are called hard. Momenta of order E times temperature are called soft. More or less obvious, no? So now let's compute pi mu nu. But we know something. Yeah, we know something already. We know that we only need to compute this for soft momenta. Yeah, because only if Q is soft, I need to solve this here somehow. I need to put the self-energy into the Dyson Schwinger equation. For hard momenta, the solution is already there. No? It's the free propagator. So for hard momenta, I have solved the Dyson Schwinger equation trivially soft. I mean, it's the free propagator. For soft momenta, I have to work a little harder. Okay. So compute this for soft momenta, for soft external momenta Q mu. No? Okay. Yeah, okay. O of ET. Naja, gut. Naja, okay. So now let's do the calculation. It's a little bit of work, but it's just an exercise in statistical field theory calculations again. No? So it's always good to have some exercises. No? Some I do, some you will do. Okay, so let's write it down. So this, this is just a fermion loop there. So,
one moment.
Yeah.
Quick question.
Yep.
Because we have this dimensionless function.
Yeah.
F mu,
mm-hmm.
But if you plug in a number or momentum,
mm-hmm.
like a hard momentum, then mm-hmm. okay, this is dimensionless. But if you plug in the soft momentum, then
yeah.
we have F. Then
mm-hmm.
Yeah,
so you're worried about this here. No? If this is E T over T, then this is some function of E, and you have to make sure that there's not an extra power of E coming into play.
Yes.
Absolutely, very good. Yeah. Okay, let's compute it and see whether this is true. Yeah, you absolutely, very good. I mean, he's paying attention, very good. I was expecting this question. Come on, guys, you have to work a little. Okay. So let's compute it. You will see that actually the this is actually of order one. Eh? So the all powers of E are already taken care of by the overall E squared factor. Okay, but you'll see how this works in a moment because yeah. Okay, you'll see how this works. It works quite trivially, but okay, we'll see how this goes. So let's first write it down so we know how to translate this into. Feynman rules, how to translate the Feynman rules. So there is, so the momentum in the loop I call K. So there's a K running around, okay. And then, of course, there are fermion propagators, so I have to trace over Dirac indices, okay. And then we know the photon electron vertex comes with a gamma mu. Yeah. And then there's a, well, at first there's a full This propagator, this Fermi propagator, the full resum fermion propagator, because originally 2pi is a self-consistent framework, and of course you have to solve these Dyson Schwinger equations self-consistently. Okay, fine. So it's in principle it's the full fermion propagator S. No? So this is basically translated. Like this, so if this is Q going in and K is running around, and then K minus Q has to go back because Q is coming out here. No? So Q is going in here. Yes, okay. Is this true? I think it's true. If I add these together, I get K. Okay, good. And then there's a mu and a nu somewhere, so. Now you have to be careful. No? So the last index of this, the last Dirac index of this SK minus Q, the last one. So this is attached to this guy here. No? So this must be the mu vertex, and this must be the nu vertex. Because you have to read it backward. No? But okay. We'll see that this is symmetric, so it doesn't matter. Okay, so now comes the important observation. What are the typical momenta in this loop? You integrate over all of them. You integrate over all of them. It's clear. But what is this phase space integration? What does it tell you? No? I mean, so there is a fermionic Matsubara sum which you have to compute somehow. Okay, you do that with the usual tricks. There is a vacuum contribution which needs renormalization and stuff like that. But that's not what is interesting for us, no? Because we are interested in the effect of the medium. So we have to look at the thermal contribution. No? So in principle, you know, there is after you do the Matsubara sum, no, there's still a d3k integral here from the sum over k. And there will be a Fermi Dirac distribution function, which depends on k over t. No? And, okay, this goes like dk, k squared nf, k over t. No? This is how this goes. This is what this integral is. And then you estimate what is the dominant contribution to the integral, the dominant momentum range. So this guy falls roughly approximately like a Boltzmann factor, no, as a Fermi-Dirac factor, but from mu equals 0 and t very large. This looks almost like a Boltzmann distribution. This goes like k squared. No? So this goes like dk k squared e to the minus k over t. This goes quadratically in momentum. No? This goes like k squared. This drops on a scale 1 over t exponentially. The dominant, so the product of these two is somehow peaked around here. Naja, and the only scale where this can peak is t. No? You can, of course, compute the maximum of this function, and you'll see that that's certainly around momenta of order t, no? where the maximum is. So the dominant contribution to the thermal contribution of this loop comes from momenta of order t. Aha. So, typical or dominant, ne? K of order t, which is a hard momentum according to our definition of hard and soft. So what you're actually doing is to compute a hard thermal loop, yeah? This is where this name came from. So you compute this loop under the approximation that, no, it's not an approximation, you realize that the momenta, the dominant momenta in the loop are hard, but the external momentum is soft. So you only send the soft momentum in here. Dominant contribution comes from momenta which are hard. And you can use this fact to do an approximate calculation of this loop. So the hard thermal loop uses, this is basically compute the loop under the approximation that Q is of order ET is much, much smaller than K, which is of order T. Okay? This is how you do this calculation. That's the trick, so to speak. Okay. Is this clear? I mean, you have to, this is the important step. Né? So you realize that the solution of this self-consistent equation is trivial for hard momenta, and for soft momenta, you have to compute the self-energy, but only under the approximation that the momenta in the loop are hard. Okay. That's all. Good, so let's do this calculation. Simpler than the one we already did for QED. We actually computed this loop in full generality, if you remember. Now we don't have to work that hard. So we can start with the approximation already, which simplifies much of the stuff that we did. Now, yeah, okay, we computed a more complicated diagram. So principle, if I use the calculation and simplify it to when I open up the photon line, then this is what we did already. But okay, so what we do now is actually much simpler. Okay, good. So the first thing is, of course, that you don't need to solve the self consistently, no? Because if k is hard, for hard momenta, I already know the solution of the second equation, the second Dyson-Schwinger equation. Typically, there is a sigma here, but the sigma is of order e squared t. Inverse fermion propagator is only proportional to one power of energy. No? This is basically, for hard momenta, if this is k, then this is basically k slash, no? Which is of order t. This part here. So for hard momenta, you can drop this here. So it's just a free propagator, free inverse propagator. Okay? Up to a sign, probably, but okay. Up to a sign. Okay. So you have already, you solved already the Dyson-Schwinger equation for the fermion, trivially. Okay, and you plug it in here. No? It's supposed to do the self-consistently, but under this approximation, it's simple. No? This thing is basically this thing here, inverse of this thing. No? So for hard loop momenta, you can immediately say that this thing is e squared t over v sum over k trace gamma mu free propagator of k, gamma nu, free propagator of k minus q. So that was good, because it dispenses with the self-consistency. No? You don't need to solve this self-consistently. You just compute this thing still under the approximation that q is much, much smaller than k. Okay. Good. So then let's plug it in. Okay. So what is this inverse? Okay. So S naught of k is minus k slash over k squared. Okay. Previously, I called this G. Okay. Now I call it S to be consistent with what I had in the last chapters. At some point, I need to make the notation self-consistent. Okay. But this is the fermion propagator, the free fermion propagator. Okay. So then, I need to do the traces. So here's the K slash. Here is a K slash minus Q slash. And then I have two denominators. One is k squared, and one is k minus q squared. Okay. Na gut. So then you do the trace, yeah? Okay. The standard tricks. You know how to do a trace of four Dirac matrices, no? So the the momenta, let me pull them out, is k alpha and k beta minus q beta. And then it's a trace of gamma mu, gamma alpha, gamma nu, gamma beta, which is 4 times, naja, g mu alpha, g mu beta minus g mu nu, g alpha beta plus g mu beta, g alpha nu. Okay. So this thing is 4 times, naja, now you work this out with a prefactor, and then you get k mu, k nu minus k nu, plus this guy here, k nu, k mu minus q mu, minus, okay, in the middle term is g mu nu, k dot k minus q, which is k squared minus k dot q. Okay. Good. Okay, so naja, you can simplify this further. You see this is 8 times k mu k nu. Minus 4 times g mu nu k squared. Plus a whole bunch of stuff that is proportional to 1 power of q. But q is of order et, and k is of order t. So this stuff is of order t squared. The rest is of order et squared. So you don't need to consider this when you compute prime mu nu. This is next order correction. So you can neglect this. In hard thermal loop, leading order in hard thermal loop, this, you don't need to carry this along. Okay, so it's already much simpler now. You see this is 8 e squared t over v sum over k, k mu k nu over k squared k minus q squared minus 4 e squared g mu nu t over v sum over k, k squared divided by k squared. It's only 1 over k minus q squared. Okay? But if I sum over all k, I can also sum over all k minus q. I can, in this summation and integration, I can shift the integration or summation variables. So I call this here k prime, and I call this k prime. And then you see that all you have to compute there is a tadpole. Something like this here. And this we have done, or at least we know how to do this. Let me compute this with this minus sign here in front, because that is what we know, an integral over d3k. Okay, now I call k prime k, because I don't want to write primes anymore. Sum over n, 1 over, okay, minus k squared is omega n squared plus k squared. Okay. But this is a fermionic tadpole, ne? You know. So the result of this is the result of this is 1 over 2k hyperbolic tangent of k over 2t. Way back we did this calculation, ne? You remember. We actually used it recently when we solved the gap equation. Okay. Okay, so this calculation over there basically is, okay, so we have 1 over 2, and then we have dk, k squared over 2 pi squared, if I go into spherical coordinates. And then the hyperbolic tangent I can also write as 1 minus 2 times the Fermi-Dirac distribution function. This is another way to write hyperbolic tangent of k over 2t, as we have seen many times, I guess. I don't need to write this all the time. You know how to get this. Okay, simple. So this is, of course, the vacuum part. This you have to renormalize. And there's no problem with just nothing is temperature dependent here. Just requires a counter term in a Lagrangian to get rid of this. Yeah?
Okay. Some factor k to the power of minus 1 missing. There was 1 over 2 k in front of the.
Yeah, sorry, yeah. Mm-hmm. Sure. 1 over k, no? Thank you, yeah. Very good. And the other stuff is one of these elementary. So after renormalization, this is gone. No? So I only look at the thermal part. Minus 2 over 2, this goes away. The whole thing is like t squared over 2 pi squared. No? And then it's this elementary integral that you have to solve still, which was pi squared over 12. Was pi squared over 6 for bosons, pi squared over 12 for fermions. And we already had that at some point. So this is minus t squared over 24. So this whole thing here is minus t squared over 24. Good, okay. So, and then, and this is multiplied with g mu nu. Okay, so we have taken care of this. So now you have to compute the first sum here, the first sum over k. Sorry, this is done, so this we have to do. And, okay, there's no simple recipe. You can do it, of course, component-wise. This is always possible. So I can look at mu equal nu equal 0 first. So the pi 0, 0 q. Mm-hmm. This is, okay, 8 e squared t over v, sum over k. And then I have k 0 squared. No? K 0 squared. K 0 squared is... K0 squared is actually K squared plus K squared. Ne? So I use this here. K squared plus K squared over K squared K minus Q squared minus 4 E squared G0 is 1. T squared over 24. This is the second part here. Okay? Good. Yeah, okay. Now, why did I do this replacement? Because now you see these are two terms. No? The first is the same thing as before, the same integral, because the k squared cancel. The second one I have to work a little harder, okay. But at least there is no Matsubara frequency in the numerator. No? It's just the momentum. That's good. So this is the part where we really have to work hard. This part is the one we just computed, no? After shifting the integration variable to k prime. It's again, now it's plus t squared over 24. No? So this is basically 8 times t squared over 24 minus 4 times t squared over 24. So, okay, what is this? This is 1 over 6, no? So this is then 1 over 3. 1 over 3 minus 1 over 6 is 1 over 6. So this must be e squared t squared over 6. Okay? And then this more complicated stuff, plus 8 e squared. Okay, and here I still have to do some calculation. Okay. Okay, up to here? All good, no? Good. And while I'm at it, I can also just write the zero i components. Collect this. Zero i means one is energy, one is momentum. So it's 8 e squared t over v sum over k. And then I have k0 ki over k squared k minus q squared. But the g0i is 0. No? So this second term here, this does not contribute to the mixed components. No? g0i is 0. And if I want to be fancy, I can also separate this now. So it's there's a momentum integral, and the ki goes in there, okay? And then there's a Matsubara sum, and the k0 was minus I omega n. Okay, and here I also have to work a little harder. So this is not straightforward to solve, but we'll see that we can do it. Okay, and then the last one is the spatial components. And then, okay, then I immediately write it in this form here, so then you can see what to do. So there is a ki, kj, and then the Matsubara sum without any extra factors in the numerator. So this is this here for mu equals I and mu equals j. And then the gij, this is of course not always 0. It's a minus Kronecker delta ij. So plus 4 e squared delta ij. Naja, but then the integral we have computed, no? So with this sign, it's minus t squared over 24. But gij is minus delta ij, so this is plus 4 over e squared t squared over 24, which is t squared over 6. No? Okay. So you see, in order to complete the calculation for all these components, there are two types of Matsubara frequencies you have to solve. Here, actually, you realize, let me actually amend this last term. I can, of course, also here split this in momentum integration and Matsubara sum. So this is actually a momentum integration with a factor of k squared. Yeah. Factor of k squared. And then the Matsubara sum without anything in the numerator. And you see this is the same type as this here. And this is the only one that's different. So basically this Matsubara sum is, which I call I1, integral 1 or sum 1. Yeah. And this is the one I call I2. And this is I1 again. So once I have done these two Matsubara sums, I know everything. I know the full photon self energy in Hart thermal loop approximation. Good. Naja. We take a break, and then after the break, I will show you how to do this. Ne? We'll see how much we do. There will be some parts that can be homework exercise, I think.